working our way through the underground mechanics of your irrigation for your lawn system, getting ready for our overseeding season. If you're planning on rye grass for the winter, which, as you've heard Jay say many times, if you want to save water, a winter lawn is the lawn to put in, and you're more likely to enjoy that than you are a Bermuda through the hot summer. So it's a much prettier grass as well. And
to talk, agreed.
Yes, to talk through that, we have Bill Jenkins of Think Green Irrigation in studio with us this morning.
And, of course, the rest of the team here, my wife, sweet Jennifer, is on the phones, screening calls, taking your call, your number, finding out where you're calling from and what your question is. You reach us by dialing 1-888-767-4348. And before we continue on our conversation with Mr. Jenkins on underground irrigation systems, let's take a minute, buddy, and congratulate your buddies, the Hickmans. Hickman Eggs ran
PJ's
and Eggs event. For the Arizona Children's Association in conjunction with them. And you participated at about seven different restaurants. There was TJ's out in Avondale. Over in Wickenburg, it was Lydia's La Canasta. In Tucson, it was Chafin's. In Prescott, it was Sue Ann's Apple Pie. And you brought pajamas or showed up to eat a meal in pajamas, and you were given a dozen free eggs from Hickman's. In their event yesterday, they raised 6,000 pairs of pajamas for the foster care children. So congratulations to Hickman's for pulling off another great community-focused project like they are so well known for.
Yes, sir. And that was before they got into politics, you know, being the county district man. Yeah. They've been doing this long before they dragged him down to the county office. Back to our irrigation. So we've established we're not gluing pipe together. We are liquid welding.
Oh, it's a technicality.
Solvent welding.
You can call it gluing, but there's just a better product out there than a lot of people realize. I wanted to share that little secret with you that good old IPS 721 blue glue really is good stuff. And, of course, read the label. Pay attention to the directions, but if it's used right, it's just really a secret weapon. You know, I've seen and made repairs for decades on the other stuff, if you will, and I don't know that a properly put together fitting I've ever seen a problem with that, with this method and with this product.
And that's what you've been calling our lateral lines out to the lawn area. Mm-hmm. Now, from that lateral line, there's a special tee. It's not just a regular tee. You've got to make sure you're getting a special tee to bring the valve, the sprinkler head up.
Well, there are different ways of installing a lawn sprinkler. Before we get to that, let me just mention there are different kinds of lawn sprinklers, and we select those based on slope, the type of soil that we have, and the environmental conditions. But once we're putting a sprinkler in, you'll have a threaded fitting, which is a solvent weld fitting that goes to thread, and then you'll typically use a riser, which is a threaded fitting to the head.
That thread comes vertical. Mm-hmm. You're still solvent welding laterally, but then there's a thread that comes vertical.
It turns 90 degrees, or a T, as you said, pointed up. And the sprinkler, it's very important that the top of the sprinkler is set just a tiny bit above the actual soil level, not the grass, not the mow height. That's where you have a system that you don't mow off the heads. You don't hit them with the string trimmer. You don't damage them. In fact, when the lawn's healthy and you have a good mow height, you don't even see the system. You can't actually see the heads. You have to turn them on to find them. But that's the way it should be. It really should be invisible. And if the heads are set like that at the right height, they don't get damaged, and they last for years compared to a head that's too high. It's going to get hit with a mower the first time you run the mower over it.
So that's point A to point B, or yes, point A to point Z for your lawn sprinklers. Time to overseed. Let's just assume that there is an existing Bermuda lawn there. What's the proper steps?
Well, the step would be, of course, to limit your watering, mow the lawn very short, apply your seed, put mulch down if it's appropriate, and then set your irrigation system to water for a short period of time, typically three periods, small little pop-up heads, 3 to 5 minutes, three times a day. Mulch helps in sunny areas to germinate the seed, and you'll do that for about 2 weeks. After that, you're typically going to see some germination if the weather stays warm, and then you're going to back off the watering. You just taper it off, and it all depends on the weather. If we get a rainstorm or if it gets cold all of a sudden, you can back off a lot more. And then you're going to get into the winter schedule of mowing roughly weekly and limiting your water based on the weather. If we do get some rains, we get into November, December, it gets nice and cold, you can turn your system off for weeks at a time. I've turned mine off for a month or so after a good cold December rain.
And the short days, that grass doesn't grow all that fast. So
no.
There's a lot of times I'll go 2 or 3 weeks without mowing.
Easily. And that's once you get into that winter season. And the idea is to get that lawn up and going now while it's nice and warm so you can enjoy it. And then it just sort of sits there until spring and then it grows again like crazy.
So that's the perfect world. A
yes.
lot of people, you're going to get it down and turn on their sprinklers that they've been off. I don't know what it is about turning it off when you shut it off for your Bermuda. And you turn it back on, and it's probably, you know, this system was installed when I took over at our house, so I'm sure the installation and it wasn't nearly as technical as we've been talking today, or as high quality. Man, I turn it off for 3 or 4 weeks and turn it back on. I'm chasing leaks and busted heads and geysers for in almost
well,
every
you shouldn't
line.
Be. But you know, in that case, yes, a visual inspection really is the most valuable thing. That, and I'll use my ears. I can't tell you the number of times I walk around a corner. If I hear a fountain running, I think I hear a leak. That always drives me crazy. I'm programmed to hear that water noise after all these years of repairing sprinklers, but you can hear the leak sometimes before you even see the leak. Turn it on, walk it, take a look, look for abnormal operation, of course, and you're going to have to make a repair if you have a broken line.
When y'all are out on the job, what are the most common repairs y'all are making?
Well, working your way backwards, the lawn sprinklers themselves, again, if they're installed correctly at the right height and it's a quality product, you really don't have a lot you have to do there. You can get some debris in the little nozzle, which typically the nozzle can be removed on most heads and cleaned very carefully. Don't use any metal tools or anything. You're going to score it up and damage it. But you can use a toothpick or a little probe to get a rock out of it, rinse it, clean water, keep the head clean. You can reinstall it. Most of the time, that'll take care of it. Nozzles aren't too expensive. It might behoove you to just have a little selection of a few of the popular ones. If you're going to maintain your irrigation system yourself, have a little selection of ones that you can just simply put some new ones in if you have a bad one. From there, one of the common problems, we'll have a valve that gets old and it doesn't shut off all the way. Folks will call and the sprinkler heads will be wet. And they may have replaced the head once, twice, three times, and they're frustrated because it's still wet. Well, it's not the head. It's the valve. The valve isn't shutting off all the way, and it's seeping. And you usually see the lowest head. That's going to be wet all the time. And that's going to require some technical knowledge. But again, you can go to one of your home outlet stores and buy another product that's the same thing, change the parts. Or again, we've got experts in the field if you want to do it yourself, like Sprinkler World can get you the right parts.
So if the valve itself, are we not cutting pipe? Because as you mentioned, that
we hope not.
Liquid weld, your solvent weld.
Well, that's all put
is
together.
Stronger than the pipe. Yep. So cutting that is not.
If somebody digs a hole and breaks a pipe, there's a method to digging it back and repairing it, putting some repair fittings in. But again, you'll repair it correctly, flush the lines. The valve is something that typically you can take apart with a screwdriver. Most valves have 6 or 8 little stainless steel screws. Turn off the water to the system. Take the valve apart.
You only make that happen once or twice.
You get about half the screws out and it blows up in your face. Don't do that. So turn off the water to the system and then you can disassemble it. Again, that's a little technical, but you can seek some help at places like Sprinkler World or Home Outlet stores.
And this is all run off the timer. There's endless programming errors that can be all happen right there.
One of the most common is folks will confuse the idea of what's called a start time with the actual zone time. And if I had a nickel for every time someone set the system for the lawn for 3 little stations to come on, and the first start time is 7 a.m. and the second start time is 7:15 and the third is 7:30, thinking that they're going to run for 15 minutes, what they don't realize they've just done is set the whole system to run 3 times in a row. So now you're flooding the yard. So pay attention to the difference between a zone or station and the actual start time. Most applications only need 1 start time to run everything on that program.
You had mentioned some of your favorite brands for sprinkler parts. What about control box?
There are some great products out there. Rainbird, again. Hunter makes a good product. Irritrol Systems makes one called the Rain Dial, probably the most popular one on the market. All quality professional controllers. Also, we have the new smart controllers now. And there are also add-on modules that can be put onto an existing controller to make it smart. And that really can save some water.
What's smart about it? Does it rain sensors?
Yes, many times it does.
Does it tell you when it's leaking because there's too much water flow?
We have things like that too. In this case, these are timers that once you set them up correctly and tell them all about what they're doing on the property, what they're watering, the soil type, the exposure, where they are, literally the zip code, they make decisions for you about how to water your landscape throughout the year. And so instead of you having to go out and set them constantly, once you've got all that right information in the controller, it will change that programming throughout the season and you put the right amount of water on the plants and not waste water. And obviously, and they have rain sensors. If it rains or the weather changes, they make accommodations for that.
I can't tell you how many times during this, you know, you drive along and you see the water flowing onto the concrete off of a lawn that they're trying to get germinated. I mean, that's an example of improper, or excess.
You're just watering too much. And the soils here are very clay-like. They get wet. They stay wet, typically, unless you're living in one of the areas on the mountainside or something like that. So you have to water based on the soil type. And obviously, that's just a method of cutting back. Start cutting back that system. Maybe take a couple of minutes. If it's winter rye season and you're flooding the yard, take a start time out or reduce the setting on each zone by a couple of minutes and, you know, check it after a day or two and see where you're at.
Somebody, let's just say, usually people come in for the winter time. Let's say someone's leaving or they're just not going to put in a rye. Is there any special things they need to know about shutting their, do they just go to their box if all they have is lawn and turn it off?
If you turn off the water to your system, make sure you also turn off the actual timer because it's not good to run things electrically with no water to them. So turn both of them off if you're going to shut your system down for some period of time. And be sure, with the cold weather coming, that thing we talked about called a backflow preventer, cover it. Wrap it up with some towels. Put a cardboard box over it. Treat it like a delicate plant because they can freeze, and that's an expensive repair.
And as soon as it thaws, you'll know then
yes.
that it froze.
Then you hear that water noise I talked about. Right. Ooh, we have a fountain. And that's an expensive repair.